This is Deb Evans coming to you live from Florida this week. And we have an official Channel 2 Baltimore News TV star with us. And let me introduce A.K. Stout. A.K., you did an awesome job. It was Channel 2, correct, in Baltimore?
It was, yeah.
That was so cool. So tell everybody, and you said they're going to play it again tonight, so let everybody know where the link is, and then tell us what, I know what you spoke about, your favorite new social platform, Pinterest.
I conquered my fear, and I allowed myself to be on video on TV for real people to be able to see me live. And it was cool. It was me and three of my girlfriends, and they basically just filmed us talking about Pinterest, the benefits of it, why it's becoming so big, sort of what you do on it. And then after the segment, I was actually Skyped in live and told people how they could get an invite. So people were able to Skype me or to come on to my one of my Facebook pages and request invites. And it was really cool because I'd say it was from 11 to 11:30 last night, the news segment, or the whole news was on, and I think I was up until like 1:40 giving people invites. I must have given out 60 invites, and then I probably gave out another 25 invites today, and I've gotten like 50 new people to my Facebook page because that's where we were directing people. And, the reporter sent me an email just about an hour ago and said that it was such a popular segment that they're sort of doing a follow-up on it this evening at 11. So I'm really excited to see what they do, and it's really cool to see everybody being so excited about it. And actually, since the segment aired yesterday, that news station has created a Pinterest account.
Oh, cool. Well, I put the news clip on the Social Geek Radio Facebook page, and I know you have it on all of your Facebook pages, but tell us how did they find you? Was it because of the saying it's Social Baltimore site they contacted you, or did you reach out to the news station?
Well, I was on the Get Social Baltimore Facebook page, and I was using Facebook as the page. So I'm following all local Baltimore Facebook pages. So I'm following that particular news station. And they posted that this reporter, Jamie Costello, was going to do a story on Pinterest. So if you had any information or you were on it, just, you know, put a comment on his page. So I went to his page, and he had two posts about it. And all these people were saying, oh, I love Pinterest. Pinterest is great, yada, yada, yada. So being the geek that I am, I jump into the comments and I post the URLs to like three of the Pinterest accounts that I'm managing. And if you're familiar with the way that the links work in comments, you know, it pops up now that you can see the picture and the link in the description. So my post was much more in your face than everybody else's comments. So I guess it jumped out. And he told me as soon as he saw my post, he was like, I need to call her. So he did. He sent me an email, and then I talked to him, and the rest is history.
Very cool. Well, it was really fun to get up first thing this morning and find the broadcast was on while I'm here in Florida, and I couldn't see it live and in Baltimore. So good job. Very nice.
Thank you.
And I'm sure our audience knows how much you really don't like to be photographed or video. So now that fear is done. Now we can do lots of video blogs.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll see about that.
So we have some guests with us tonight because the reason I am in Florida, I hung out a little bit longer. The International Franchise Association conference was this week, held in Orlando, Florida, and we're really, really sorry you couldn't join us. But I know you were following our tweets and Facebook posts, and our tweet up, and all of that fun stuff. But we have two great guests with us. One that's been on our show previously a couple of times, Lori Windham, the operations manager for Computer Explorers. Hello, Lori.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. And Al, I will butcher your name because I tend to just do that. Al, let's see if I can say it. Wadenslager?
Exactly. Well done. Well done.
Yeah, you're just giving me brownie points. I knew I'd butcher it.
That worked.
So, Al and I, Al sat through one of my sessions, and we found out as we were connecting on Twitter and LinkedIn and whatnot that we probably know each other from our former lives and franchising, but he's a speaker and a best-selling author and a consultant at Guerrilla Marketing, and we thought it would be really cool to have the two of you on the show to help tell everybody what was going on at IFA and what takeaways did you guys have.
Well, I tell you what, it was a great time. It was a lot of people, and it was a lot of information, almost like information overload. And I have to point out that I was there representing one of the people that I work with, and that's Alpha Graphics, so I want to give them a shout. But it was interesting to, just like many of the other conferences that I attend, you see all kinds of different levels of different subject matter. And I certainly was drifting all towards the social media side. And it was interesting to see the different areas of social media, even within franchising. You've got the parent franchisor. You've got franchise development, which is where I'm most involved. And then you have the whole franchisee level. So it was interesting to hear the different levels of aptitude on top of the different levels of engagement and targeting.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I wanted to bring up, too, is that this year we have two newest members to the Franchise Association. One is Google, and the other is Facebook. And I think within the franchising organization and the franchising world, that's pretty significant. They didn't have a big role this year. They participated in the Technology Summit, shared a little bit about what they hope to do with social platforms, but really they were there representing the organizations and learning more about the franchising world that we live in and our needs. So I think kudos to the technology committee who and headed by Ken Colburn, who was able to pull these very significant new members into the organization.
I know that both of those have been involved with associations, which sometimes can act like a franchise. And in all of the associations I get involved in, I see their presence, and it's nice to see them come over to the franchise side, because many times when I work with an association, it's much like working with a franchise. It's just a different contractual arrangement is basically the only difference.
Mm-hmm. So, Laura, you were at IFA.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't think you were, you weren't social at all. You weren't. Were you tweeting? Were you posting to Facebook? Were you taking pictures? I think you made us all proud, weren't you?
I was a little crazy with that. But it was awesome. We started out, the first night? We had our tweet up, and it was great to be able to meet some people face to face who I've been tweeting with off and on. Was able to accept the Computer Explorers Award for our Franchise Business Review for being in the top 50 of our bracket of franchise satisfaction. And that was very exciting. And, of course, those pictures got posted and tweeted. Reconnecting with our vendors, just talking with some of our other partners was amazing. But can I say the one thing that shocked me the most of the whole weekend? You said you were there, and you're probably being very nice. But we were having lunch, and the Google people were talking with Ken Colburn, and they were taking notes on paper. Everybody else had their iPads up to the point where I am so jealous I could just sit and taking notes, furiously with their keyboards on their iPads and girls got a pen and a notebook.
AK, you would have been so proud because I did. I had my iPad and I had my keyboard sitting up in the Tech Summit, and both Brian and, Brian and who's, they'll come to me in a minute. Google and Facebook were getting ready to go to stage, and I noticed that. That was early in the morning. I looked over, and both are sitting with paper, and I thought, that's all right. Facebook guy must have the smart pen, the scribe.
Right.
He had a book,
yeah.
A book that looked like that. No, it wasn't. I'm sitting there. I'm sitting with data doctors, Brandon Disney, and saying, really? They're using paper. So I was like, what am I missing out? So, yeah, Laura, you caught it in a bunch of times. That was bizarre.
Well, Deb, you remember in the Twitter program that you facilitated and presented in, we were tweeting our questions to one of your panelists who was reading the questions, and people were almost afraid to raise their hand the old-fashioned way.
Right. We had to remind them that you could raise your hand. It was okay. You didn't have to stare at the Twitter stream to see what was being said, which, AK, now you remember from Fan Camp, how distracting that is. Well, again, we have somebody that happens to love to throw out silly tweets out there when the panelists are speaking. It happened to have been not someone sitting in the audience, but one of the panel members, Chad Cohen.
Oh, yeah.
He would throw something out there, and then, you know, I'm standing there and I'm talking and I'm looking out, and once you see all those smiles, all I had to do, I didn't have to look at the Twitter stream. I just turned to my left and said, Chad, what did you just tweet? It had to have been something. But, oh, I'm sorry, that was so good. It's okay. No, I know you tweeted something. You threw something out there. But a lot of folks had a hard time multitasking, trying to listen to the speakers, follow the stream, post their question. But I did notice even the one gal, I know her name was Deborah, and she sat to the right of the room. She was new to Twitter. She had an account new to Twitter and said, you know, she was trying to figure it out. But by the end, she got all that multitasking down without a problem. Are you still there?
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, okay, I was getting an echo. I'm so sorry. I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, I'm hearing an echo, too.
It's Nancy. It's not me. It's me. It's got to be Blog Talk. So, AK, why don't you have some questions for them?
Well, I have a lot of questions. Let's talk about Guy. How was he amazing? What did he have to say? What was his greatest advice or his most insightful words of wisdom that he had?
Crow's feet are good. That if you smile with your whole, that means you're smiling with your whole face and you're being genuine and you're being open.
Oh.
And that when you do that, that you're going to get some crow's feet, and that's okay. But it was part of this whole being genuine, being open, being happy. Think, what did he say? Default to yes, to a yes attitude, which I thought was, you know, if you could just strive to do that, maybe 65% of your day might go better.
You put a picture up of Mari Smith, which I thought was interesting, how many people didn't know who Mari was.
Hmm. What was that?
Did he talk about the name of the name? I'm sorry, I had to leave before he spoke, but he and I have interacted quite a bit, and he's endorsed some of my books. In his book, Enchantment, which I know he talked about because I read the Twitter stream, did he talk about the name that he gives that smile?
The Duchenne?
Yeah. I just thought that was intriguing, and he talks about squinting and crunching the eyes.
So I felt really bad. Did anyone read his blog post that he put on Facebook today? It was kind of a repost of an earlier one, and he talked about if you're going to be a public speaker, don't be at the end of the conference. Try to be at the beginning. And he was at the end of the session, at the end of conference. It was like, oh,
yep.
He's exactly the place where he doesn't like to be. But he still did a fabulous job.
Yeah, the crowd thinned out a little bit.
Yeah, I would have thought he would have been more towards the beginning to, like, get people excited and motivated. And
oh, well, the timing actually worked out really well for Deb and I. We were able to sit really close.
Yeah.
And I was able to get a picture as he was leaving.
I think that's probably... I think that the organizing committee thinks of him as a tech guy, and he's much more than that, and his message is much more than that. And they think of his Apple background, and that's probably why he got pigeonholed into that tech image or identity, if you will. But his message is much, much more than that. I would have loved to have seen him at the kickoff, but we're all biased, of course.
Yeah, he was very good. He was very motivated. Now, he had just was recovering from a surgery, so he even talked to us about how he had hesitated to, well, he didn't hesitate. His wife was trying to talk him out of coming to the conference, but he had made this commitment and said he really wanted to be there, and he was really fascinated with franchising. So he was good. He was energized. He was engaging. He was very funny. Very funny. But I did watch, now I have not read his book yet. BJ Emerson was sitting there and had his book and had read through it, and he said it was just almost, you know, word for word, chapter for chapter of his book. And that didn't discourage me. I do want to go pick up his book now and read through it because I love his message.
You know what? There's tons of stories in his book. And I know how much time you get at those sessions. I know that he probably didn't get nearly half the stories told. And that's characteristic of many authors. But he has tons of stories in that book to exemplify his enchantment philosophy.
So what were some other great sessions that you guys liked? Not everybody loves that.
My emphasis in the franchising world at this point in my career is development, after being a franchisee for 15 years. And you heard me mention earlier that I did go to a lot of the social media, and it was interesting to hear people all over the map. You had the geeks, you had the people that do it, you had the people that are fearful of it, and everything in between at all levels of an organization. So many times I'm talking to a C-level person and they just don't get it, or they view it as a push marketing strategy. So it was good to hear some of the presenters like Deb in the Twitter world talking about the engagement, the conversation that has to happen, and that it isn't a push strategy. And I think that when these people hear that enough time, they'll start to get it because there truly were all levels of competency.
And there was discussions of Pinterest, Dick. You would have been proud.
Really?
Well,
what about Google Plus? Was there, you know, since that kind of came out since the last IFA, was there any sessions dedicated to that or any talk about that?
No, not that I know of. I think most of the social media sessions, from what I saw, were the big picture type sessions, presentations of, again, a little bit more still on why and trying to convince franchisors to be using it, not a lot of the details. But I will say, you know, as Al said, more sessions, so there were more tracks in social media, lots of folks using it with their smartphones, which was good to see. And then, and Laura, you went to the session where they were giving out the iPad.
Yeah, the social strategies with Philip St. Jacques and so many people, I can't remember. Was it Graham?
Nick for No Limit was on the panel. Brian Smith from Engage One-to-One was on the panel. It was moderated by Lauren Fisher from Fish Consulting out of Miami. One of the things that they did was instead of having a Twitter stream up, and this could have blown up, but it did, they had the Facebook page up. Now, as they said, they were promoting it before IFA and trying to get attendees to post questions to the Facebook page. And what did they say, Lori? They had two questions posted?
To just ask your questions on the page,
right?
Of what you might have, and I found this, it worked really well.
Yeah, it did. But what they had hoped was that they would open up that Facebook page and just see a lot of engagement. They only had 61 likes, and they only had the two questions. So they asked the audience and said, okay, we really want to give this iPad out today. So go to this Facebook page and post your questions. Well, I thought for sure it was really going to bomb, because it's one thing to sit and tweet from a session. It's very different to have folks know how to go and do Facebook. But the questions were flying in.
Oh. It was incredible. And I think it was, you know, it was good for those of us that do social for franchises to see what the questions were, what the concerns were. And I think we saw, you know, all levels of that.
Mm-hmm.
That could have led to, like, you know, 40 more sessions, because people really had good questions.
Yeah, that was good. And quickly bribed everybody to come in because they were going to do that on iPad. I thought that was cheating. Because I didn't think of it,
yeah.
Or have the money.
You know, a couple of the other social media sessions, not to just dwell on that, but whenever I work with a company, it's usually Facebook and Twitter heavy, and even in some of my own organizations. And it was good to start to hear a little bit more talk about LinkedIn. And, yeah, it's a professional networking platform. Yeah, those people understand networking, and that was kind of bridging the gap to get people more social media savvy. And just the simple fact of paying attention to conversations going on with LinkedIn groups, like me in the franchise development world, watching conversations of people complaining about their corporate job. Well, that's an ideal prospect for a franchise development person. And when somebody threw that out as a little bit of a tip to go watch those conversations, people were writing notes crazy and were ready to go log into their LinkedIn account. So it's kind of good to hear that, because that kind of puts people in the mindset that this stuff really may have a payback. And even though it was emphasized that it's not a selling strategy, it is a relationship-building strategy, which leads to selling. So I think people started to get that message.
We're all waiting for the next person to talk so we don't talk over each other.
I was looking in the chat room to see if we had any questions, but apparently it's a lot of chat about karaoke and Disney.
Oh, yeah. That's not my fault. Yeah, so the last fan camp, there was a little karaoke afterwards, but we didn't do that this year. We were good. But maybe the next fan camp, which will be in Atlanta, we might do some karaoke. Let's see, I was trying to think of what other social media things we saw going on.
The deal with Facebook and Google's interaction with franchising? Do they talk of any plans or anything like that?
There's the new, what they were calling the day of the tech summit, the parent-child application, which I thought that was kind of an odd way of talking about it, because I kept thinking of a parent and a child user interface. But really what it is allowing franchisors to be able to have more, being able to monitor and do more pushing messages throughout their locations. You know, so if Computer Explorers has the corporate location and there's 50 franchisees, they can share that information. I will tell you, the vendors sitting in the room that do that
break out.
Now, I'm still confused, and now I'm not, maybe you got understand it. When I heard it, at first I thought this was going to be a free app.
Mm-hmm.
Then at the end, when I think it was John Luther or somebody was up there talking about it, it doesn't sound like it's going to be free. So I'm confused. I don't know if this is going to be something that's going to be available to the franchisors at no cost. Do either one of you know?
No, I didn't hear anything about that, to be honest.
Yeah, so we'll have to go to the franchise.org /social tech or something like that and monitor it and see what's going on and how that's going to be utilized. But these two guys were really, really, really learning more about franchising. And again, you know, what franchisors are asking for as a franchisor, which is, that's one of the applications that's been requested many times. Google Plus.
Did you say franchisor?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The franchisors were asking Facebook to allow them to manage the local pages.
Yeah, I've been hearing buzz about that for a while now. Like right after, I want to say it was shortly after Facebook Place Pages rolled out. I started reading a little bit about that, and then and I didn't hear anything, and I was wondering what was going on. And then it was a little bit after that when Facebook became a member of the IFA, and then so I thought, oh, well, maybe they'll do it then, but I can't, I mean, I really can't imagine it would be a free service. I feel like they could easily probably get a franchisor to pay something. It's probably not going to be an extravagant amount for it, but it, I mean, it would be a really good service, but I don't know, and now they're saying that the look of the Facebook timeline is coming for brand pages soon. So who knows what they're doing?
Don't know. There wasn't a whole lot of talk about Google Plus. Just some folks are still, you know, venturing out there and using it. But I didn't hear any hardcore course sellers trying to really push Google Plus as you would some of us that was pushing Pinterest or. You know, more use of Facebook.
And I didn't hear that either. I wonder if that's because you and I are franchisors and maybe they're pushing that more towards the franchisees.
Yep.
It's just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was quite a bit of debate, a lot of debate in many of the sessions as to whether franchisees should be even participating in the social media world. And of course, I'm one to stand up and say absolutely, positively, yes. But there was still a lot of debate saying, well, you're going to mess up your branding, your representation of the brand. It's going to be out of control. And these are the people, obviously, that don't get it. But there was a lot of talk about that. And the other extension of that was, a lot of the franchisors are supplying the content to the franchisees to post, so a much controlled environment, which is not conducive to conversation as much as if you're free-flowing and responsive and reacting. That's just an opinion, by the way.
I think that has to do with like the size of your system. I think it would be
hard to
monitor if you have 5,000 franchisees if, you know, one's talking smack about his customers on Twitter, but that's your job if you're going to do it. You know, if you're going to be marketing as a full brand, that you got to do it.
And somebody just said online here that the franchisees need a local presence, and I couldn't agree more.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I was surprised that we actually had one presenter who voiced their opinion very strongly that they are against local franchisees having their own control. Of course, this was a vendor who actually controls all of that for
right.
a system. And I think everybody on this call tonight, the four of us, all have the same opinion to let go of control and let your franchisees manage that with the franchisor monitoring it.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem I see, and just as a consumer who's, you know, likes to play with my phone, is local level employees even knowing what's going on with the corporate office is having some sort of social, like a Foursquare special or a Facebook special, that even the local employees at the local store know what's going on.
Just another communication device.
Yeah, but, you know, they don't get it, and I think that's a bigger problem than, you know, whether they're on it or not. Mm-hmm. And if it's all run through corporate, it's going to be a bigger problem.
So, hey, yeah. Cole, where does Pinterest fit in this discussion? So, you know, right now Pinterest is still new. I'm wondering, do you think that it's going to be a problem down the road where we're going to have the same discussion about Pinterest and franchisees having access to that platform and not having control by the franchisor?
I don't know. It's it's interesting for us. I mean, Pinterest obviously is not going to be something that it's going to lend itself to every single business model. That being said, I think there's really not going to be a way to control it, so to speak. I mean, you could have a franchisor that says, okay, you can have an account for your location, but you can only have this board, but then, I mean, in terms of pinning things, there's not going to be hardly any way to control what you can and cannot pin unless an uber strict policy is enforced. And, I mean, you know as well as I do that the amount of franchises right now that even have social media policies for just Facebook and Twitter is severely lacking. So to get to the point where you would even have one that would begin to cover something like Pinterest is so far removed, I don't think it's going to be a thing. And I think it's going to be a very long time, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes before many franchisees even think, I'm going to do Pinterest. I mean, just as we were already saying, it's still so hard even to get a lot of franchisees to say, I'm going to effectively use Facebook and Twitter, and then you introduce this whole new creature, and they're going to say, hold up. I haven't even wrapped my head around being able to use Facebook and Twitter. I don't really foresee it being a problem. I think it's going to be something that so few people are doing, you know, in terms of being able to control it. There would be issues, but there'd have to be policies in place. And I just don't think it's at a place right now where it would be an issue until, you know, a year and a half from now, if it's still popular, to see where it evolves to. So, but I really hope that people start using it because it's...
I agree with the timing comment. The thing that will make that move faster will be successes. Success will breed success. And Deb, in our little Twitter session there was some talk a little bit about Pinterest. And I have no idea how the gender conversation ever started with Pinterest as far as being the male-female. And I quickly spoke up and said, now I'm a passionate, biased marketer, that I view Pinterest as a great marketing mechanism. And I think it goes back to a little bit of a common theme that we have going here, and that is the people that don't get it. And Pinterest is a wonderful mechanism to humanize a brand, to let people see that you're a real person, and that creates relationships, and that creates business. And I know I sound like a broken record with that, but that's the conversations I'm having at the C-level with business owners and with CEOs and people that just still look at it as a push strategy. So I'm rooting for Pinterest. I'm on it. I'm not greatly participating, but I am a little bit, and I'm having fun, and people are saying, wow, I didn't know that you were all about this or all about that. So it's a mechanism to humanize the brand.
Yeah, there's another gentleman that was in that session that admitted that he not only knew what Pinterest was, but he was using it. So it takes time. Now, there's still not a lot of folks who are they're aware of what Foursquare is, but still surprised by how few Foursquare users we had in the industry there. And AK, I think you would have been pleased with the app that IFA had used this time. The downfall was that the app wasn't working with all the Androids. It had the bump feature like we did with Scavenger when you and AKA you and I went to Chicago and you check in together. But they had the bump feature to where you collect each other's contact information, and then it not only went into the app, but then you could add it to your phone contact. Because at one session, I told him, I said, don't give me your business cards. You know, if you've got the app downloaded, let's bump phones. Well, that was always fun. That was in the technology summit, and everyone looked at me going, huh?
Yes.
So I had to show them how to use the app, you know, and okay, now go to friends.
I thought the app was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm an iPhone guy. It helped me get through, and it helped me connect and gave me tons of informational resources. So I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, and you could scroll through the schedule. You could change your schedule, which it had a really good planner in there, which was cool. But like I said, the downfall was if someone had an older, well, they had a BlackBerry. A BlackBerry, but not. You could not bump the BlackBerry. I watched one person kept saying, I know it'll work. It's like, I didn't bump your phone until you drop it, but you are not going to get my contact information.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, it's nice that it worked out because I went to a conference like a year ago, and they had an app, and they had put all this work into the app, and they loaded the app, and when you got into the expo room, which was actually part of the app, nobody had any cell phone service. So it was a massive failure. Yeah. It's nice to hear it actually worked.
It worked, yes. And I saw everybody's phones were working in the convention center there in Orlando, which was great, because it is sad to see that people can't get their connections. And but it was working. So I think IFA as a whole was, as an organization, was much more social this year than they've been in previous years.
Good. Yeah, it sounds like it.
Mm-hmm. The Twitter feed boards position, there was two positions. I would have positioned them at different locations, but so you could watch the Twitter stream go through with the hashtag IFA2012. So that was fun. Now, we did have some folks that were tapping into that hashtag and throwing out their little promotional items. Weren't they, Laurie?
I saw that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's unfortunate, but it's marketing, I guess.
I know.
Yeah.
I hate when people hijack hashtags.
Yeah.
I just don't know the proper social media etiquette.
But, you know, is there, I mean, we all know what the unwritten etiquette is for social media. Who has ever published something on etiquette for social media? Have you ever seen anything?
I've seen blogs. I haven't seen a book, but I've seen blog posts about it. And it is true. Like, it's hard to know what to do. I always tell people a lot of it is just listening and paying attention, and before you start using a site, you know, really just monitor what everybody else is doing. And I mean, if you know, you can sort of get a good feel for that way about what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, you know. And then if you're not sure, you know, then just ask somebody. But you know, I think as far as hijacking a hashtag, that's sort of got to be like, you know what you're doing, you know.
It's spam.
Yeah, I think that really came into play and kind of came out, I think it was like maybe after the tsunami or after some other big event where big marketing firms or big companies were promoting a sale or something with the hashtag that was about the natural disaster. And
it was Kenneth Cole, I remember, about their new spring line or something like that, and man, did they catch heck for that.
As they should, because that's wrong.
They should be called out.
I thought I saw a question in the chat, but I don't. I'm talking about social media gurus. Al, what else would you like to share as far as, you know, your social media policies? And you do training on social media, you've written. How is it different today in your marketing than the guerrilla marketing book you wrote some time ago?
The guerrilla marketing still continues to use tried and true traditional marketing tactics. And social media is very guerrilla-ish because it's time, energy, imagination, information, and knowledge instead of checks out of checkbooks to pay for advertising that doesn't work. And that's the whole essence of guerrilla marketing. So there is a little bit of a crossover. The other essence of guerrilla marketing is the extreme messaging, the off-the-wall messaging. You know, one of the definitions is reaching conventional goals through unconventional methods. And you can use some of the same messaging techniques in the social media world, but you have to be careful that it's not, it doesn't become a push strategy. One of the cornerstones of guerrilla marketing is relationships. And you've heard me say that already, that that's what we try to do in the social media world. And, you know, it's one thing to post a whole bunch of information, to repost information, to share information. One of my biggest philosophies is positioning. But then it has to evolve in the social media world into conversation. So sometimes the guerrilla marketing tactics are one way. And you have to remember that when you flip over to the social media world, you have to really, really think two-way. And when I work with clients about that, they have a difficulty with that until they start seeing conversations going on or until they start participating in conversations. And one of the very first things I do when I have a skeptic is I have some listening tools that I use, and I start show them what's going on in their market with their product and maybe people even talking about them. You know, one of the presentations I do is people are talking about you right now. Wouldn't you like to be part of that conversation? And so it's sometimes convincing people of that. But that's the difference between some of the guerrilla tactics and some of the social media tactics.
I don't think I can argue with any of this.
Okay, before we go into Geek It Out, do you have any other questions for the Lori and Al about IFA? And
let's see. Did I already ask about favorite sessions? I can't remember.
I know we're forgetting something. There's got to have been something that's
I know what I want to know about, and this is kind of maybe a little off topic, but I saw, and I didn't get a chance to click on it, Deb, on your Facebook or your consulting page, there was like a video or something that you posted about, was it about your consulting? Is that what it was?
So EH Anderson PR did a good job with their booth. What they did is they partnered with Franchise Times, and they decided, because the trade show floor has, oh my God, I don't even know how many booths. Lori or Al, do you know how many booths were at the trade show? How many vendors?
No, I want to say something like 500, but I don't know that to be true. There might have been more than that.
They did a great job marketing. I received this box in the mail with a ribbon. It was so pretty. And when I opened the box, inside was a postcard. I'm like, okay, wow, they really spent $2.43 to send this box to me as a postcard. But it was an invite to come to their booth, and they sent it to just a select group of franchisors and asked if you wanted to have a video done, okay, you probably would have thrown the postcard away, a video done, and they were going to put, it's going to go on Franchise Times, which is already posted, it'll go on the franchise.org page, and then you could use the link for yourself for marketing. So I called them and I said, I'd love to have this video done, but you're asking me as a franchisor, and at IFA, I knew I would be launching myself away from computer stores and launching Deb Evans Consulting. They were fine with that. They scheduled time for me to go into the booth and helped me do my video. Just went in, sat down next to Nancy Weingartner, and I said, what are we going to talk about? She said, well, social media and your business. Okay, fine. So we whipped that out. I think they did a great job with the tags and how I've gone from Dev CE, Dev Computer Explorers, to Dev Consulting Executive. And now I have the link that I can use personally. So I thought they did
a good
job trying to get folks into their booth. And it was a what can we give you, kind of pay it forward right back to what we started our conversations with Guy. You know, what could they do for us? So I was pleased.
Cool. Did they get a lot of traffic to that? Every time I walked by there, I saw it empty. And I didn't know if that intimidated people or not.
Well, they didn't want to open it on the floor to anybody. I did see
mm-hmm.
that when someone would come up and say, you know, would you mind, would you do a video with for me? They did. They went ahead and they accommodated. I sent a few people over there. But they really wanted to, they were very selective of who they invited to do a video. Now, Laurie, on the other hand, went to a booth, and they had set up not the same fashion and style, but Laurie did her a video, marketing video.
Mm.
So, Laurie, who you're doing that video with?
That was with 919 Marketing out of,
mm-hmm.
I want to say, Charlotte.
Yep, Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm.
And they were great. They did a quick interview. The woman that was doing it, AKA, you probably know her name.
Oh yeah, Sue.
Yeah.
And she just asked great questions to be able to get good answers out. And I talked with their rep today, and he said that, you know, all the videos turned out great. So we're hoping to get that video up and going. It's generally about computer explorers and why we do what we do and why anyone would want to be involved. And it was a great experience. It made you very comfortable, and we had a good time.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, I thought that was really strange. So we posted that picture on Laurie's Facebook page, and you knew exactly who it was she was standing there with.
Yeah.
Your social media connections. That was strange.
Yeah, I actually 919 worked with senior helpers. So she used to come to our conferences when I worked there.
Ah, so that's how you know it. Okay.
Uh-huh. And I knew Tristan Davis too. I saw him on Lori's Facebook, and we worked with CWISE as well.
Oh, that's funny. See?
Oh,
I thought I was his only client, and I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
Well,
I did have, before we go into detail, I did have one more question. I was finding out, were there any QR codes running around at IFA?
Not many. I saw some on marketing materials. Al and Laurie, did you see many QR codes?
No, now that you mention it, I don't remember really seeing any.
No, I did not. And I'll tell you, I've been to a lot of conferences, and I've seen people trying to use them, trying to get creative with them. Maybe even having some sessions on them. And I'll tell you, now that you've mentioned that,
mm-hmm.
absolutely none.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because I mean, it seems like the app was so advanced that there would have at least been maybe even some vendors that would have had sort of QR codes spread around or something.
No. It was really quiet. Last year there was a QR code scavenger hunt, but this year was nothing. It was really quiet.
Yeah. I think there was some on the postcards we received, you know, trying to get us to go to booths. And that sort of thing. Deb, we got some invites to booths that, you know, came in late.
Mm-hmm.
One company sent us Valentine's. They were great.
Oh.
It's like, too bad we got them too late.
Oh, that's funny. Well, it's there when I get back. Funny. So before we go to Geek It Out, Al and then Laurie, why don't you give us your contact information, blog post or blog links, or how should people reach you?
Ladies first.
Okay. I guess the easiest way to reach me is on Twitter. So it's at Lori W. That's LORRIW. And that's probably the easiest way to reach out and get my attention.
And I was going to say the same thing, and it links to a website of mine, and you can trace the path that way. And my Twitter ID is G Marketing Guy. G is in gorilla, because nobody knows how to spell gorilla. So it's G marketing guy.
Oh, you're laughing. I hope I didn't spell it wrong somewhere today, because I know I kept getting caught on trying to spell it myself. So, AK, I guess we should move into Geek It Out.
I think we ought to.
Let's play the music, Sam. Let's see. It's taking forever. I'm trying to hear it. Okay, I have new windows open. I'm ready.
Okay. The first one is called Mingly.com. MINGLY.com. Let me just copy and paste that into the browser here. Oh, no, hold on, I may have lied. It might be Mingly app. Hold on. Try app.no.
Say it again.
My fingers aren't working. It's MING.LY. Oh. MING.LY. And, Deb, this is similar to one that we have talked about before. And it's not all inclusive, but it's a way to hook up your Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and you can incorporate it into your Gmail if you want to, or you can just use the web-based version so you can view all of your contacts from those sites sort of all in one place, and you can sort through them, and it's sort of like a CRM system almost. So it would be cool if it had at least Google Plus in it, in my opinion, but it doesn't, but it seems pretty easy to use, and you just hook up your, you do get Mingly, and you hook up Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and I didn't install the Gmail one because I use Reportive, but yeah, that's
very good.
Pretty easy to switch.
Yep, Google Plus and Pinterest, we just start adding those to everything.
And I'm actually a little worried because I use Reportive for my Gmail. And I heard that they just got bought by Twitter, I want to say.
Oh, goodness.
I can't. No, Twitter bought Sumify. Maybe Google bought out Reportive. I can't remember, but I am obsessed with my Reportive, so I'm really hoping that doesn't go away. I guess I can talk. I think I've talked about Reportive before as Geek It Out, but since I'm mentioning it now, it's sort of an add-on for Gmail. So if you, I think you can install it as a Chrome extension, or I think if you go to reportive.com, you can install it right into your Gmail so that anytime you receive an email from somebody, if they have set up their social account with that email, you can see right on the right-hand side of your mail if they're on LinkedIn, if they're on Google+, it even goes to MySpace. It'll show their clout score, their Twitter, their Facebook. Mm. So anytime I exchange emails with somebody, if they're a prospect or I think I'd want to have any further relationship with them at all, I click on their LinkedIn if it doesn't tell me I'm already connected with them. And it'll say, the message will come up and say, Reportive showed me your LinkedIn in my email. Isn't that neat? Would you like to connect or something? So, of course, you could customize that, but I always think I should put that in there so they don't think I'm really creepy and they know how I found them.
That is really creepy, though. So what is that? I don't remember you talking about this before. It's called Reportive?
Yeah, RAPPORTIVE, Reportive.com. I mean, I have connected with so many people on LinkedIn and Twitter, simply just because when I email, and I think one of my favorite features is, especially when people contact me for like consultations or anything like that, or especially if it's somebody local to me and they want to meet me in person, if they have hooked up their, like a profile picture with any of those accounts, their picture also shows up. So that they're emailing me from an account, an email account where they set up their social account, I know what they look like when I go to meet them in person. So I don't have to say, you know, I'm the one in the red sweater when we go to meet you. So, and it also helps, even if we're going to have a phone conversation, I feel like knowing what the person looks like sort of makes you feel a little bit more connected to the person. But, yeah, I mean, it tells me if they have their phone number, you can show recent mail. It has their, you know, the company they work for, their email address, their area. I mean, you can get all sorts of information about the people that you're emailing as long as that's the email address that they use to set up for everything. And you can even go in. You could even go in to compose an email in Gmail and start typing the person's email address, and Reportive starts working as soon as you type in an email address in the to field even. So without even having received an email from that person, you can still find out all of their social media accounts that way.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, I'm saving that one. I don't remember that one before.
Oh, yeah, that's, if you use Gmail, that's like an absolute positive must-have.
Okay.
Okay. I'm glad I brought that up then.
Convince me.
All right.
Do you use it, Al?
No, I don't. I'm just sitting here listening and learning, so I may have to check it out.
We're gonna
That one. I got Reportive. All right. So we have Mingly. We have Reportive. Let's do, this is a fun one. OnTheWayApp.com, so OnTheWayApp.com, and you can actually, for best results, if you use Foursquare, you can hook it up to Foursquare, but you don't have to. It's really just as simple as putting in the starting address of where you are, and then your destination, where you're going. And it will show you sample museums and restaurants and sort of things to do along the way. So if you're taking a road trip or you're traveling somewhere where you're not familiar, it'll just give you suggestions of places you may want to visit. It's powered by Foursquare.
Oh, I'll play with this one this week.
Okay. Yeah, I've been playing with this one with places around here, and as far as I can tell, it's accurate, so it's pretty cool.
And then connect it for, I'm saving that one.
Yeah.
Wait till you want road trips, long road trips. That's cool, lots of badges. Oh, Lori, did we earn any new badges while we were away?
I finally got my form badge, but I got it at the airport on the first day.
I remember that. Mm-hmm. And she did have Flat Lori with her, okay.
I saw a picture of somebody with Flat Lori, maybe BJ or maybe Lori and Flat Lori.
Did BJ put that one? Because he took a picture of me with Flat Lori.
Yeah, but I haven't seen it. Yeah. So, Al, last year Lori could not go to IFA, but she did go to IFA with me in my computer bag. We printed a picture of her, laminated it, and then I carried her around everywhere and took lots of pictures, and she checked in.
Oh, very cool.
So if
cool.
I checked in at Foursquare, then Lori was back in Houston, and she was checking in at Foursquare with Flat Lori. So we had fun with it, but it was hilarious. We ran into somebody at the trade show, and I introduced Lori to Frank, and I said, remember last year I had Flat Lori? He said, yeah, did you bring her? I said, no, I brought IRL Lori, and I introduced
her. Very
cool.
He
was very pleased to meet the real Lori.
Oh, that's neat. That's funny.
So we had fun with that. Okay, let me see. We've got like just a minute, AK, for maybe one more geek it out.
All right, well, this is a quick one. It's youregards.com, youregards.com, youregards.com. And you connect it with your Facebook, and it will pull up all of your Facebook albums. And then you can, it'll create a postcard from a Facebook picture of your choice, and you can write it all out and send it right from there for $1.29.
Now, there's another site similar to that I use, that I think you or Jen McDonald had shown me, and I have to ask my mom. I sent the postcard
through it, and I didn't hear from the recipient to see how that turned out.
Yeah, I know there was
one. Does it have to be your own picture?
It hooks up. It only pulls your, well, it'll pull any of the albums that you've loaded.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. But there was an app, I remember, where you could pull the pictures off of your
phone. That's right.
In the postcard.
I did that. I took a picture and then sent it from my phone. Paid for it, so I better find out if she got that postcard or not.
What was that app, or what was that application?
I think it's just called Postcard. I'll have to look at my phone app. So I think it was just called Postcard. It's an iPhone app at iTunes.
Postagram. There's one called Postagram. Yeah,
that's fun.
Yeah, Postagram app.
Okay.
I think we're out of time, right?
I don't hear her, but I think we're out of time. We've got 58 seconds left, so we're going to have to tell everybody good night.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys, for being on the show. It was fun. I'm glad to hear. I got to hear all about your ISA adventures.
Thank you
for
the opportunity.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.